And we're live on the Touchdowns and Tangents show. This is Pete D. Camarillo.
This is Kenneth Frank Jansberry. I won't talk like that anymore. Jeez, don't look at me like that. Damn.
And for those of you who don't know, you can catch our podcast on Speaker, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio,
iHeart.com,
SoundCloud,
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Wherever else random internet content lives, we are also the unofficial AFC West podcast on the Greatness Network. Shout out to them.
And the professional podcast that you want, and the entertaining hood podcast that you respect. Because we are literally knee deep in my hood right now at a McDonald's in the car doing a podcast.
Yeah, this is literally...
And I just ordered a shake.
This is literally a social experiment. Here we are taking the show on the road. So here we are. Welcome to, what is this, Lawndale?
This is Gardena. It's where Lawndale, Gardena, Hawthorne, Torrance meet up for midnight gangbangs.
So welcome to the South Bay.
Yeah.
Touchdowns and Tangents audience.
Shut up.
We're on the corner of...
Don't say our exact location. What's wrong with you? clearly you're from Riverside. Everywhere in Riverside is just some sketch-ass place. I can't just say I'm on such and such and such and such in the South Bay or in L.A. because people will come find you.
All right.
You can be in Riverside and be like, I'm on such and such. I don't want to go out to Riverside in the first place.
All right. So since we took a week off and since football season is finally here...
That was such a half-hearted...
We have a lot to talk about. So, let's jump right into it.
So, the Patriots are currently getting their faces curb stomped to oblivion by the Kansas City Chiefs, 42-27. Didn't see that one coming, but... Everyone was right about rookie running back Kareem Hunt out of Toledo, Ohio. Loki, Ohio is the state for running backs, if we're going to be honest. But, I think he was like a third... round pick or something like that. It escapes me at the moment. No, that's rare, but it happens. It's been a long day. So, he has 14 carries, 141 yards. For all you math majors at home, that's 10 yards a carry and a touchdown, rushing touchdown. And he also has 5 catches for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns.
So, pretty much, if you have him in your FanDuel, your DraftKings, or your year-long fantasy, you won.
You won the league. He's the new David Johnson. On top of that, Alex Smith is 28 for 35. 368 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. You have Mr. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 133 yards, and a touchdown, a 75-yard touchdown. I mean, let's just be honest. Jeremy Maclin's like, huh, that's why they replaced me.
And... to go further, doing it against the Patriots, the team who we all thought was just going to push the entire league in.
They still kept Stephon Gilmore. They kept Malcolm Butler and got Stephon Gilmore. And they have Jason McCourty back there. But Patrick Chung is still giving up big plays as usual because he's Patrick Chung. We love you.
But Philadelphia does not.
And a couple other places hate your guts. Oregon probably isn't all that fond of you because you probably should have just been a linebacker at Oregon, but we'll let that go.
And they managed to get, you know, offensive players for next to nothing.
They got
Philip Dorsett for nothing.
They traded Jacoby Brissett, who was actually a really good trade chip because Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup. And if you're going to have Brissett, you might as well trade him to the Colts. For a draft pick.
And they got
pick.
The tight end from Indy.
Yeah. Indy just loves giving away players to New England. I guess they realize they're just the lesser life form at this point. And they're probably going to suck. So, Jacoby Brissett, who's better than every quarterback on the roster, not named Andrew Luck, but Andrew Luck isn't playing this week because his shoulder's still messed up because they never gave him an offensive line and Ryan Grigson was a terrible GM. And Andrew Luck plays... quarterback like a linebacker, which means
his body's gonna win the division.
Yeah, no, Houston. I'm gonna say Houston. Also, since he's out, they figured let's trade Philip Dorsett, the receiver we never should have taken, because well, we already have T.Y. Hilton, and he never developed much because him and T.Y. Hilton essentially run the same routes, And Andrew Luck doesn't have enough time to throw it deep downfield to a guy who will drop it like 30% of the time. So the former first round pick, 21st overall, got traded to the Patriots for essentially a bag of chips. And no, they got traded for the last bag of chips in that bag that everyone doesn't like to eat, the Fritos, and some chili cheese off the ice cream truck.
So basically what we're saying is the Chiefs are really surprising.
And the Patriots are really surprising in how bad they were. But Dante Hightower,
and that could
hurt.
Be a lot of the that could be from a lot of the turnover, because they usually don't get these kind of marquee free agents. Because
Edelman tore his ACL, Cyrus Jones tore his ACL, so Danny Amendola
Edelman left the game. Or
no, Edelman Amendola. Got hurt.
Amendola, yeah. Same dude.
Amendola got hurt, but Cyrus Jones tore his ACL in the preseason game. So essentially, you lost your top two punt returners, your best wide receiver in Edelman.
For sure.
Michael Mitchell's going to be put on IR. So you're losing a lot of weapons that Brady trusts. And, I mean, you just have two fast guys. And it's not like the Patriots line can't pass block, because they're perfectly capable. Shout out to Marcus Cannon for beating cancer and being a pretty good player out of TCU. I thought none of those TCU guys were actually going to make it, because they all got busted for drugs at one point. Shout out to Casey Pahal.
So let's keep it in the AFC West, since we are the unofficial AFC West show.
I feel like we're the best one, unofficial or not.
I just want to say this. I don't know in what world Pete Prisco thinks the San Diego Chargers, LA Chargers, are the 10th best team in the league above the Raiders and the Chiefs and the Broncos in their division.
Talent-wise, they actually are.
And we've talked about this. The talent-wise, the Chargers are good. I'm not sleeping on them, but they're not better than those other teams in the AFC West until they can prove that they can beat them, which they haven't. And so, for my point, the Chargers are not that good. That's all I have to say on that.
Really?
Yeah, I have no thoughtful insights on that. Sorry.
Well, this has already been covered. They're an enigma team, and they're really unfocused on defense. I saw it on the preseason, which tells me that their defense is going to schematically break down mentally, but they physically have everything they need, except an offensive line that will consistently block. And Antonio Gates is the greatest tight end of all time. Don't debate me. He's like 1,000 times better than Tony Gonzalez. Don't even get me started. But, yeah, the Chargers are going to finish better than the Broncos, because the Broncos, for some stupid reason, just cut T.J. Ward out of nowhere. Another Oregon defensive back. He was the OG strong safety. He was the one dude in the Pac-12 that everyone was afraid of when he was playing in college. And he's from Oakland, so shout out to him. But he ended up signing a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Buccaneers are probably going to be like an 87 overall, quietly on Madden. Just saying. To close out the Broncos, the Cleveland Browns cut Brock Osweiler, and then he ended up signing back with the Denver Broncos because, well, let's be honest, he could probably beat out Trevor Siemian, and John Elway likes to hedge his bets. So, and they really did a disservice in cutting T.J. Ward. So their defense really took a hit in run support. So whoever plays strong safety is getting picked on.
I mean, Ward's been declining over the past two seasons. He's been declining since he got there, so I don't think there's going to be any love lost there.
Because he used him as a linebacker.
And not just that, but they already have plenty of DBs. I mean, you could play Tlaib at center and still have three starting corners, so.
Arguably, you could play Tlaib at free safety, but that's kind of scary. But even then, they probably use a lot of high nickel.
Which he actually played a lot at Kansas, so.
Yeah, him and Chris Harris both played at Kansas, but Chris Harris Jr. didn't get drafted. Shout out to, honestly, they've been playing together for like 10 years. It's amazing.
They realize that.
Yeah, they both.
Good fact.
Yep. On that one Kansas team that was great.
So since it is week one.
Shout out to Mark Mangino.
We already have one game down. Well, actually two games because of the whole thing going on with Florida. Shout out to everyone down there in that region.
Hurricane Scott back Irma. There.
So hope everyone stays safe.
And Texas.
Blessed.
The entire South. Just stay safe.
But
that's all I can say. Stay safe.
Yeah, so we got football games getting canceled, and that's
college really, games, high school games, all that.
And that's really the least of people's concern. So let's just keep it entertainment. Let's keep it fun.
Shout out to J.J. Watt for raising like $20 million when it started out. It was like a $200,000 donation, and he got up to like $20 million in like not even 2 weeks. And then he reached out to Drew Brees and said, "Hey, I know how you handled Katrina. How should I handle this?" And he did something that the Red Cross and FEMA apparently can't do, and when they're given billions of dollars, is buy supplies and give them to people. Instead of just, let's raise all this money, but then not actually give people supplies that they need to live. Let's just raise money and pat ourselves on the back. Because if you don't know this about charities, ladies and gentlemen, they pocket most of the money for administrational, you know, fees and stuff like that, getting people together, putting all that stuff on, like, you know, first class flights and all that to these areas. That's why in Haiti, they, after the whole earthquakes and everything, they were given billions of dollars and only made, they only built like 6 homes. Yeah. Sorry about that. It just really pissed me off. And do we even need to talk about the Raiders?
No, I mean, you already hijacked the whole show with your little, you know, minute rant before.
Oh, no, that's not even a minute rant. I got Jason Whitlock is on my rant.
I just said keep it sports, and you're over here going on the tangent about the Red Cross, but whatever, I guess.
So we need to be like, no,
I mean,
like,
you do you. You have your own charity that you go out and, you know, do lots of street work for.
Okay, first off, we're not comparing me to the Red
Cross. Hey, so I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, like, athletes on the ground and them donating supplies.
Yeah, did you see Gerald Green out there in the streets rolling around in his ATV telling people to get out there with boats?
Shout out to Trey the Truth, the rapper from Houston, Texas. He was out. He been out there saving people.
He still raps?
Yeah, but like, shout out to, seriously. Shout out to all these
athletes. He still raps?
Occasionally, but what, shut up. Shout out to all these rappers and entertainers who are actually out there, you know, saving people, man. Like, that's dope. That's very admirable. And it's even more amazing to see the NFL raise all this money for them as quickly as they did. Like, the Cowboys, all these teams. And it's a lot of teams. There's a lot of players from Texas and the South in these areas. So you know,
state.
You know, like, it's a pipeline. And they're really putting their money where their mouth is. Especially when they showed all those supplies that J.J. Watt helped put together. So that's dope.
All right, great. So it's week one. Like I was saying before you hijacked my segue, it's week one. Looking at the matchups that haven't gone down yet, what's a trap game that you see coming? Because nobody saw this trap game for the Patriots. I'll give you mine, and I'm going to keep it home, and I'm going to keep it 100.
Ooh.
The Tennessee Titans, I think they're going to set up to really trap the Raiders.
They're going to trap the Raiders?
Well, I saw somewhere on the spread that they're favored 2.5, which usually a home team is favored 3. So, pretty much, the Raiders are still kind of favored, even though they're not. But, at the end of the day, as we've talked about throughout this whole offseason, Tennessee looks really good on paper. They've made some improvements. And then when you're talking about having one of the most legendary defensive coordinators of all time, and I actually just found this out in an article I wrote for Cover 32, but the Titans offensive coordinator is actually an OG Raider too. He was drafted by them in 78. He spent 12 years with them as an offensive coordinator, tight ends coach, wide receivers coach. He's basically been around the game for about 35 years.
What's his name? So, Jim Bob Cooter or something like that?
No, it's McCursey. Forgot his name. I think that's what it is.
That totally helps.
Yeah, I think it's McCursey. Anyways, the point is they're very experienced staff. They have a young team with a good balance of veterans. And pretty much, they're essentially built like the Raiders. Like, when you really think about it, they have a hard-nosed running game. They have good offensive line play. Their offensive line is actually probably the most underrated in the league. When you look at Pro Football Focus, there's not a single one that's not, like, in the top half of the position. And three of them are, like, top 10.
Picks.
No, three of them are top 10 at their position last year.
Yeah. Jack Conklin, who everyone was hoping. I was hoping he would have slipped to the Raiders, but...
And, yeah. Back to my point...
He was, like, the number one rated
Raiders
rookie.
Defense has not looked that great. They lost Obi Malafonu, so you know Delanie Walker is going to go off. Delanie Walker didn't even play last year versus the Raiders. You know who went off? Jason Miro. Case rested.
Conley? Well, and they have Adoree Jackson, so they're probably going to
probably gonna
give up a return touchdown.
Oh, yeah, Conley makes his debut, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, boy.
So what's your trap game, Kenny? You got 15 minutes to look at it?
Not really. I looked at it 2 seconds ago. But honestly, it was always going to be Saints-Vikings. The Vikings have an elite defense. On top of that, they got better through the draft. They retooled the offensive line through free agency.
I don't think that's a trap game, though. I don't think the Saints are favored.
No, but the thing is, I feel like they're going to get blown out by the Saints.
Oh.
They're going to get beat down. And it's a revenge game for Adrian Peterson. And Mark Ingram's just angry because he's not being treated like a number one back. And then they drafted... they retooled that defense in the draft for the Saints. And their defense was actually one of the best defenses throughout the preseason. So you have to look at the fact that the Lattimore, the best corner in the draft, he's probably going to be locking up any one of those Minnesota receivers because, I mean, they're not that threatening. So I'd really say the Saints are going to, dare I say, expose the Vikings. It could easily be like a blowout for the Saints. And Drew Brees is a much better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Bradford.
All right.
And I'm not counting out that offense and a retooled Saints defense.
All right. It's a trap game. So let's keep it pushing. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time.
Yep.
Ezekiel Elliott caught a suspension. The suspension's upheld, but it's expected that it's not going to take effect until somewhere in the middle of the season, probably next week. Basically, Elliott gets to play this week, possibly next week, and then at some point serve a 6-game suspension.
Because the NFLPA got smart and filed a restraining order against the NFL.
So, what's your take on this?
It's a shame
that... Don't forget that this happened like a year ago. Don't forget that context.
It's a shame that they... Because if you look at the top two selling franchises, it's the Patriots and the Cowboys.
So do you think this has to do with the Cowboys' first game being in prime time?
Against the Giants? Yes. It's also... Ezekiel Elliott keeps doing dumb stuff to get himself in trouble, and this has been lingering over his head the whole time. So...
But that's it's what just, I'm saying. So why is he playing in week one?
Because, honestly, from the facts, looks like he was innocent in this case. And if the DA in both states said there's not enough to convict this man of domestic violence, why should the NFL then take it upon themselves?
Because we've already had this argument plenty of times.
It was a rhetorical question. I wasn't really asking you. But I'm saying, legally, he did nothing wrong. The evidence showed that, she was lying.
Well, legally, she set his contract says that he's up to the discipline of the commissioner.
Yeah, so. No, that's all players, though.
You
but I'm saying, he's
you blame,
being...
You can blame your players association, which you just shouted out at the beginning of your take.
That was a condescending shout out. And first off, I'm not even a fan of the NFL Players Association.
Yeah, because they're the worst of all time.
By the way, Eric Winston, Bengals right tackle and NFLPA president, just got cut for the Bengals. He's a starting caliber right tackle. So don't tell me players who delve into the union politics and all that.
How many times?
A couple times. But He's actually just, you got to understand, it's the same thing with Kevin Mawai when he was president. Anyone who comes and gets in the crosshairs of the league.
Or you're just an old big dude.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
As good as he once was.
He was actually, you know, right tackles don't have to be that good. You know that. And he's still athletic. But my thing is, any player
who's
a
zone blocker and he plays for
a team that zone blocks?
Not really. They're more of a downhill scheme.
Whatever. Anyway. Bottom line is, anytime you put yourself in the crosshairs of the league, whether it be politically or something you're doing outside of the field, you're going to be made an example of.
We don't have a lot of air.
You keep cutting me off. You keep cutting me off.
If your take ain't good, I'm going to cut you off and keep it moving.
My take was good until you cut me off. Bottom line is, Zeke is just going to be made up. You got to eat this charge.
Our last topic before we both pass out or die.
Stop spitting when you talk. It's disgusting.
Michael Bennett, in case you've been living under a rock, we all kind of know what's been going on with that situation as far as...
Not everyone does.
As far as I think most people know at this point. It's pretty common knowledge.
When it comes to black people getting beat up and by police brutality, they usually don't care. And if it's a rich dude...
What did I say? If it's not something new that's not adding to the dialogue and the conversation, don't say it. Because we don't have a lot of air and we don't have a lot of time.
No, what I'm saying... The average person doesn't know
you've already had
that Michael Bennett was falsely accosted and put in cuffs and slammed on the ground and assaulted and brutalized by police after the Mayweather-McGregor fight. I didn't even know that until the video came out and all that stuff. So not everyone knows what we're talking about. That's why I'm saying it.
But I'm saying over the past week, it's been everywhere. So,
well, now y'all know that's where it happened. After the McGregor Mayweather fight. So the Las Vegas police came back immediately and demanded an investigation of Michael Bennett, and the NFL's like, nah, chill. He's one of he's one of our best people. I'm not doing it.
It's crazy to me because I've never had to think, and people have been talking about this on the radio, I've never had to think. I've been in a situation where police, where I'm uncomfortable and like I straighten up and, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. But it's never come into my mind of like, hey, I could possibly die. And even though that's not my reality, I know that's the reality of other people because, you know, the people I've surrounded myself, my African-American friends have been there. My black friends have been there. They've been held up at a subway for no reason. After they opened the door for the policeman, said, hello, sir. And they were just in the parking lot trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they all got rolled on and thrown on the curb right there. And that's in Eastville, Riverside, Corona. That's not even in somewhere, you know, that you would consider hood or urban or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, right down the street from where we are at this McDonald's, I actually got rolled on by a sheriff. For walking home, by the way. Had my college ID and everything. So it happens to all of us. It's not just rich and poor. If you're black, it happens to you.
But my question is, just to kind of keep it in-house, why is this not getting more connected to Kaepernick? Because this is the whole thing of what Kaepernick, you know, took his protest and stance for.
Because they can't blackball Bennett because he's actually like an all-pro player. You can blackball Kaepernick because his contract is
no, but I mean
his money.
What I'm saying is not enough people are like, hey, this is what Colin Kaepernick stood for. Look, here's a video example.
They know they just don't want to say it.
A rich man going through it.
They know they just don't want to say it. Because if you're wrong, the best thing to do is to be quiet no matter how much evidence is brought before you that you're wrong. So you just maintain that quiet stance that you feel like you're right, even though you know you're wrong. Because whatever you say will not add to your case.
That's why you should always exercise the right to remain silent.
Yeah, but if you're black, doesn't really matter. They'll silence you one way or another. And you know I'm telling the truth. From academia and from just sheer being out in the world. Doesn't matter. And it's proven with what was done to Michael Bennett. And there's people who've gotten it worse than Michael Bennett. We just don't know who they are. They just don't share their stories. It was Rob Parker. He was on Fox Sports. He was talking about how when he was in working overnight at a radio station, every night, like 7 times in like a 3-month span, he got pulled over and was never given a ticket. Same cops kept saying, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" "I just got off work. I work a late shift." Like, it happens. A friend of mine who's up at a college right now in grad school, San Francisco, the security guard, every time he sees a black student, and they see the same black grad students all the time, roughs them up and says, "Where are you going?" But walks right by the white students.
My friend who just moved to Arizona, he's experiencing things that he's never experienced before, and he's grown up in rural areas and gone to biker bars and country bars and done all types of things that you would never expect him to do. And he thought he would assimilate fast in Phoenix, and he's finding out that people just don't think the same from one state to the next.
White supremacy is real no matter where you go. It's a global thing.
So let's close out the show.
Yeah.
1 minute take. You go ahead and start since you already know what you're going to say.
Okay, by the way, like, people like Jason Whitlock, honestly, I don't know what will kill them faster, the inevitable diabetes or just the sheer self-hatred of themselves. Like, Sammy Sosa bleached his skin. Now he looks like a character off American Horror Story. By the way, Dominicans are black, in case you didn't know. I'm not going to go into a history lesson, but just know that they are. He had Kid from Kid and Play. By the way, Kid from Kid and Play is banned from all cookouts, all black functions. Don't go watch House Party. Boo him wherever you see him. Like, what he did was so disrespectful to the black community, which, I mean, I get he's really light-skinned, but to pretend you're Kaepernick during that sketch is really insensitive. And then they made it about his girlfriend tweeting the House Negro photo with Ray Lewis and Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti. That's a cop-out, because teams weren't going to sign him even if his girlfriend didn't do that. And by the way, it's really disgusting to me that they keep calling out Ness Nitty, who's a radio personality herself and from the Bay Area. They keep calling her out and mentioning her, but no one actually wants to reach out to her for an interview and get her side of things. I think it's really disrespectful, because we wouldn't do that to a white woman. No one said anything when Giselle went off, when Tom Brady and the Patriots lost the Super Bowl. No one said anything after Wes Welker's wife went on a racist tirade. No one says anything unless it's a black woman or a black man voicing their opinion, and it's automatically seen as an attack. But people let people like Jason Whitlock coon around and say disrespectful, horrid things about the black community, and I'm tired of it. Like, as a journalist myself, and I was talking to a friend of mine, we know him, worked together in the school paper, he talks about, like, man, it's so easy to just sell out and coon, just take dumps on the black community as a journalist, because it'll get you far. It's harder just to be an honest man about your work, and that's sad, because no other race has to deal with that. Like, you don't see Okay, aside from the Latino community,
you are broadbrushing a lot.
Bro, aside from the Latino community, are white men saying, "Oh, I gotta crap on other white men to get ahead"? No, they don't. Black men are the only people, aside from Latinos and Asians and other, like, small minorities.
You just named a whole group.
Yeah, but, like, black people get it the worst. Woman? How many Latinos
pass to be? You can't say.
Okay, no, you're missing my point. Bottom line is, I'm just going to close down and finish it. Black males, no matter what we do, we are seen as a threat. Even if we're peaceful and docile. And in this case, people just are laughing at Jason Whitlock, I think, more than they're actually respecting him, because what he did with pretending to be like, "Hey, Kaepernick, it's nice to meet you." Like, it was really disrespectful. I'm done. I'm slowly losing oxygen in this car.
All right, so on a much lighter note.
Please.
Don't worry, I won't, you know.
I had to get that off my heart. Just
overgeneralize too much of my tirade. But that's just my, you know, condescending tone right there.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Typical.
So, in case,
at the end of the day,
in case you don't follow me on any social media, I actually just got back from spending the week in South Florida. It was a great time, except for all the heat Everywhere I went, I was sweating. My clothes never dried. It was a lot like LA, except for less hills, less mountains, more heat, more reptiles. Other than that, you know, similar type of vibe. The biggest thing, though, is with all the hurricane thing going on there, I'm very blessed to have gotten out of there right when I did, right before it kind of really got on the radar. But all last week they were talking about it, so I was hearing about it. And even though we talked about it costing us football games, the truth of the matter is there are some islands in the Caribbean that are just completely destroyed. Just completely, civilization just completely wiped off the face of the earth. People are already calling this the most devastating hurricane ever, and it hasn't even hit South Florida yet. So I just want to, you know, give them some more thoughts, some more love, some more prayers. And that's about it. You know, we can talk about all of our experience here, and we can debate our perspectives and, you know, the lenses and the shoes that we walk in. But at the end of the day, we all still have life, man, and most of us still have a place to work and a place to eat and a place to call home. There's people out there in the Caribbean right now that don't have any of that. So just stay blessed. Hopefully our friends in South Florida won't have to go through that as well, you know.
As well as the Gulf of Mexico.
So anyways, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents Show. I'm Pete Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Berry. Stay safe out there, y'all.
Thanks for listening to us. We hope that you'll share us, like us, subscribe to us. We're on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm literally passing out as I'm giving this outro. Brain cells.
Just remember, natural disasters will kill all of us, so love each other.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.